Welcome to episode 51 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord, and I'm here with my other lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how is this evening finding you, Wonky?
Oh, fantastic. We've got a jam-packed episode. I mean, at one point, I think we just split it into three episodes worth of content. So.
Right. I mean, when
we had a lot to go through.
I'm not going to lie. When I sat down and looked at this tonight, and I was like, okay, we're talking about that. Okay, we're talking about that. Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah, there's definitely a couple episodes worth of content here. So that was good to see that we could easily break that out.
It is always nice when the outlines kind of write themselves.
Right?
Makes my job a little easier.
I got to say, you know, in the 51 episodes we've done this, you have been the guy who writes the outlines, and I appreciate that because I am definitely a free flow kind of guy.
Yeah.
So it's good that we have that little bit of organization from your side while obviously we got that free flow from mine. Yes. Works well together. So
it's been pretty good for, 51 episodes at this point. So.
Right. So, well, guys, with that in tow, obviously, as Wonky said, we have a jam-packed episode full of goodies for you. So let's jump right into it with Hobby Corner. All right, Wonky, any updates from you on stuff you're working on or things you're going to get to work on here soon?
So I do have a few updates. Yes, so terrain is not quite started yet, but my brother has it in hand. I think he's going to work on getting it primed. Okay. I think it was his plan to get it primed coming up here. Okay. And then once things are slightly hectic at the moment, but in the next week or so, I think we're going to plan some hobby nights where I'm actually going to use a paintbrush. We're going to get wild. It is still a goal of mine to get one set of mushroom terrain painted by Warfare Weekend.
Right.
We'll see how that works out. Other life stuff is kind of encroaching on that time, but I think between the two of us, we might get a chance to kind of get it done. And maybe not like perfectly done, but like done enough, I guess, where it's not just a bunch of blobs of gray on the table.
Gotcha. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And also other news, I've got stuff that got dropped off to the painter.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah, so I'm getting my Maltique painted, my exclusive Isabelle from the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
What else was in it? I'm trying to... Oh, my really, really sweet Yorgoth proxy I found.
Okay.
I found a really cool Etsy shop that does 3D printing.
Did you show me which one you picked for that?
I think so. It was the jumping minotaur with like the big two-handed mace.
I posted it all over the place. Yeah, you definitely showed that one to me. Okay.
Yeah, so I found essentially, you know, now that we're gonna allow proxies in events,
mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, I should really, really go out and get a Yorgoth because we weren't really sure when we were gonna get the model because right. I've been using Yorgoth a whole lot.
Right.
Yeah, and I found on Etsy. It took a little bit of digging. But essentially, it must be like a sculptor or group of sculptors, because there was, I kind of started noticing like the same watermark in photos, mm-hmm. even though the Etsy shops were different. And basically, there was someone that sculpted, I think it was like 11 or 12 minotaurs.
Okay.
That look essentially like Torin from World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of more my style of Minotaur I enjoy versus like some of the creature caster ones. Thurgar's got a bit, I like the more like cow snout on my Minotaurs.
Right.
And not all creature casters tend to have that. So I went through, did some digging, found a couple. They print them at 32 mil scale. So they're on 40 mil bases. They go together in a couple of pieces. I've got my Yorgoth one and I bought three other ones that I just thought were cool.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll see. I don't know necessarily what I can use them for.
Right.
Cause like one of them's got like a big mace and a shield. Clearly we don't have, mm-hmm. Minotaur of that, like that style, I guess.
Right.
Cause one thing is the proxies will have to be somewhat close to the character. It can't just be this random thing is this other hero.
Right.
There's going to be some amount of guardrails on it. And kind of the most important guardrail, I think, is weapon.
Yep.
Would make sense. So, right, like, Yorgoth is using a big two-handed club. So this guy's got a big two-handed club. You know, Thorgar's got a big two-handed axe. So a big kind of axe, you know, feels like it's a little bit required. And then, yeah, these are, they look just like Torin from World of Warcraft. So if anyone's played that before. The much more cow style Minotaur, which is more in my wheelhouse. I gave him the Canuck, Mara, and Terra we got from Warfare Weekend. Was that last year?
Yeah.
That they 3D printed those like prototypes and they were handing them out for those that played in the events. And those I've not put any paint on. So I should have basically a full set of painted monsters for Warfare Weekend. And then, yeah, I'll have my Yorgoth, I'll have Maltique, who I've played around with a little bit, and then Isabel. So if I want to try some Ista shenanigans.
There you go. I mean, that's like going right after Gamer Dad's heart.
Yeah, I mean, Ista kind of can play the tankiness that I like for, like, in Gruul. They've got some fun options that you can play. So yeah, Ista's one I haven't really played in a while, but might be one I'm playing more. Or if the meta stays its current route, I'm just going to play Bruel until my eyes bleed. So, you know.
Right. No, that makes sense. But, you know.
But yeah, so that's it for me for hobbies. So you got any hobby stuff? I think you're still working on some, like, Warcry terrain, I think, right?
Yeah. So I've been working on that Warcry terrain now, set for, God, I think, what, at least 4 or 5 of these episodes now?
I feel like it's been a couple.
Yeah, it's definitely been a couple. But I am very much so, I get to actually say this tonight, I am very, very near the finish line on this one.
Okay.
I've literally got just some contrast work to, like, skeletons to do, some stonework, and then basically it's go in and clean up all the trim.
Okay.
And as soon as I'm done with that, they're done. So.
Freedom.
Yeah, freedom to start working on, you know, Warfare Weekend stuff, which... At this point, looking at this and looking at my time frame, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to have the time to paint 7 models.
I mean, are you thinking about playing something completely different than what you have in the past? Because I know you've mostly play painted, right?
Like, yeah, I prefer to play painted if I can.
Okay.
So it's either I'm going to put together what I have that's painted and play it, or I'm going to try to get 7 new models painted or some combo.
I mean... Yeah, as well as say, I mean, I guess you could maybe pick a handful to still get done, right? Maybe get, you know, 2 or 3 done instead of a full 7, so you could kind of mix and match a little.
Yeah.
Still play painted.
I mean, that's like one of the things I was looking at is I was thinking about grabbing my Ista list from Adepticon.
Yep, I do remember it was painful.
Uh-huh. And I was actually thinking about, like, turning it around and depending on who was all going to be available by Warfare... I was thinking about, like, if Nephany were going to be available,
okay,
I might sub her in over, you know, one of the models. And then if Hoxha was available, I might bring him in. But looking at the Kickstarter, like we had kind of talked about earlier tonight, I can see that they're not scheduled to be out by then.
Yeah.
So that's probably not going to happen. So it's more than likely going to be that. If I have to fall back on something, I may just fall back on that Ista list because I am quite comfortable running that list.
Yeah. Well, and that's something to be said too, right? If it's something that you feel good playing, that always kind of helps a bit.
Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, I do have a Bruellen list that I can just be like, cool, I'll play Bruellen until my eyes bleed in this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, they just, with some of the stuff I've been seeing played, the brute force amount of damage that Bruellen brings just feels kind of good in some of the stuff I've been seeing kicked around on the Discord lately. So
yeah,
Bruellen might be one that, you know, maybe we need to, you know, if everyone's bringing something hardy, you know, got to bring that Nutcracker to
yeah, pretty much. And
so
trust me, we've got some options with it. So
Bruellen definitely has all of those options.
Yep.
So that's true. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, are you hoping that you kind of can get a, you know, call? I mean, I don't know how long it normally takes you to paint something, so.
It It depends on, like, the level of detail, right? And yeah. With my 54s, I was, like, spending a lot of time trying to get that detail level.
Yeah.
And really wanting to do that. With my 32s, I've been a little bit more, you know, I'll let some of the detail go here and
yeah,
stuff like that. So, I mean,
I think it's a bit, because you just don't notice it, right?
Like, yeah.
Because there's,
not that smaller the, and...
Yeah, not that the 32s necessarily have less detail, but it's, like, less noticeable detail, I guess, would be the...
Yeah.
Kind of the thought process.
So, I mean, so. Like, out of my 32s right now, I've currently got Thorgar painted, Rakir painted. And realistically, I could probably bust Zarin out, Lugdrug out, and, okay. like... And I've got a Drelgoth, because Drelgoth was originally part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh yeah, I've got Drelgoth, I could take him. So I mean, I've got some of the models done, and like even doing a Donergar
okay.
wouldn't take me long, because you know.
Also, I have like two painted. Wait, do I have three painted Donergars? If you really wanted a painted Donergar.
Well, I mean, but you know, like I did on my big one.
Yeah.
I did
yeah.
that like half stone form, half
yeah,
color.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Right, and yeah. I've seen GD. Post one where he's got one that's the full color, and then he's done one that's like the full stone form version.
I do legitimately have another V1 Donergar. So yes, I do have four Donergars.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Well, the fourth one. Okay, so the fourth one kind of just like happened a bit because someone was getting out of the game,
mm-hmm.
And was willing to ship me. They had like it was like two or three models in V1. I think they had a starter. And like Donergar basically. So oh, I'm like, okay, like I'll take it because it's another Donergar. And
yeah.
So what I should do is get him painted up in stone form.
Yeah.
And then still just play my V1 Donergar all the time. Yeah. As much as I've been enjoying using V2 models when playing in person.
Yeah.
The playability is.
Well, and nice. I'll be honest, I'm going to bring some of the models that are going to be in Test Realm, since especially this one's a close enough one that I'm driving, just like, you know, yeah. Chicago was. I'm going to bring some of the V1 models that I have that have test model or that have test realm rules.
Yeah.
So that way when we're there and we're not playing the tournaments, mm-hmm. I can be like, cool, I want to play my Sharn and Hoxha, or I want to play Nephany, or
yep.
Whatever.
It's my plan to bring my full set of V1 with me as well.
Nice.
Just partially in case people needed to borrow stuff for the event.
Right.
Partially just because usually when I go to a con, it's like I've got my one battle foam backpack, and then I've got my one bin with all my V1 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to, like, I'll just grab the bin.
Yeah.
I haven't really needed to use it, but having some options for people to borrow models, which I've always been good about doing.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, and I'm excited this time because I get to, with me having the Rakir and the Thorgar done, that mm-hmm. opens up a lot more room just for them.
Yeah.
They were two of the, like, Rakir had to go down on my like my lowest tray, right? That had the biggest amount of room.
Yeah, V1 Rakir was very tall.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the fact that both of those are smaller now, and
yep.
looking forward to doing that. So, but right. that's what I got for the hobby corner.
Okay.
You know, obviously some good hobby projects going on both ends. I'm excited to see the mushroom terrain in person.
It's yeah, I gotta find magnets. That's the one thing. There's like indents form in the print.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Gamer Dad has posted on the Discord what exact size you need to order. I probably need to do that sooner rather than later.
Gotcha.
So I have those because I would like to be able to use it with the actual mushroom trees.
Mm-hmm.
As well, or at least some of them. Maybe not every tree, but like some of them to kind of give you know, a little bit of that more 3D-ness to it. But I do, and you need to dig that out. I think it's been posted a couple of times now.
That's fair. Well, I mean, obviously the last section we talked about with Hobby Corner segues perfectly into the first thing we're going to talk about in the next section, which is us going to be jumping into our Judgment News. All right, Wonky, you're the guy that's doing this and running the event, so let's talk about it. Warfare Weekend, baby.
Yes, Warfare Weekend. For those that weren't aware, we did now properly merge the two threes events into a single event.
Right.
And it's updated on the website. I think Gonzo had reached out to the two folks that were in the beginners. I forget what they actually called it.
I think it was beginners.
So he reached out to them. I I think they re-registered for the Threes event. I don't remember what all the names were. I hope they did.
I hope they do too, because I mean, even last year, right? We even with the advanced stuff, we still had a couple guys who jumped into that.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing is that I love the Threes event because, like, even for me, right? I'll play a Threes event and I'm still like super nice when I'm playing the Threes event. And while I'm still super nice in the Fives event is where I turn more of my competitive mode on. And it's like, I'm still going to help you, but I'm going to help you less because this is where I came to play and be competitive, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the Threes, I definitely am like, oh yeah, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's do this.
Threes is definitely molded. Well, it was intended or not to be the more like casual and learning friendly version of the game. Not that you can't learn playing Fives, but Threes definitely lends itself a bit better to really get the core mechanics of the game down. So yeah, we're at 7 people for the Threes event. I think that's what we had between the two of them. I can't remember if that was the case or not. Mm-hmm. And then we are up to, it looks like 9. Yeah, we're up to 9 now for the Fives event. So we picked up a couple people.
Nice.
For that. So we are capped at 24. So there is still.
Did Coonerbus finally register for the Fives?
I think so. I believe he did. Because he didn't register as Coonerbus, so you know.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
I'm pretty sure he's on there. A lot of the usual suspects are on there. There's a few names I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
From places, so that's good. But again, I know most people by Discord names, so
right.
So I don't always, and I think there's been some discussion on the Discord about some people that were possibly still coming that I don't see their names on this list yet. So we could be a bit bigger as well. Yeah. But yeah, we are capped at 24. And that one's on Saturday, and then the Threes is on Friday. The Threes starts a little bit later. We're starting at 10 a.m. because the event should be a lot faster.
Yeah.
Then Saturday does start at 9. We are now over 8, which means it could be a 4-round event depending on pair downs and whatnot. And I think if we get to a 5th round, we'll only do the 2 undefeateds if we get to that point. Because I know like Adepticon, they did the same. Not that people can't play, but I think we'll do what Adepticon did, where there's only 2 undefeateds at that point, and then we'll do a final table situation where people can watch if they want. And we'll probably also break for dinner, just like they did for Adepticon as well. I think that's all in the packet, which the rules packet has been posted. There is a link on both the Warfare Weekend event itself has the link to the rules doc, as well as the Longshanks link, which I probably should have also put on the event, but I was supposed to be able to edit the event, but I still can't. So maybe I'll get the Longshanks on there, but otherwise the Longshanks registration event is within the rules packet as well. So you can find it there. I mean, pretty standard for those that played at Adepticon. It's going to be the similar. We are using the maps as they are on Halls of Eternal Champion. So those that play in Vassal, where the maps with the portals have been released, where they basically slapped portals on the existing maps. The portals will not be on the maps. So no portals on the maps if you're practicing on, you know, Vassal prior to Warfare Weekend.
I'm so glad I kept module 2.1.19.
Yeah, I mean, you can just ignore the teleporters, and I think actually in that module you can still move them, which we'll get to actually a little bit later. With one of the other new Vassal updates, but no portals on the map, so you don't need to worry about that. And a question that I know you brought up, and I'm sure other people brought up with heroes that can be used.
Mm-hmm.
My plan was to allow heroes that are released and have models. That was the original plan, but now with the proxy rule, plus we've seen the release of estimated release schedule in the Kickstarter update, which we'll get into after this. Yep. My plan would be to allow Yorgoth and Loribella, who might not have models fully released at that point, but we've had their rules, I think, for like 2 to 3 months now.
roughly.
I think. So they've been out in the wild. And then Styx is also one I will confirm.
Yep.
I was trying to do it for models that have been either fully released with their model available to general public, or Yorgoth and Lorybella. I was thinking would be available because they've been available and tested for a few months now. I will update the doc if I make changes, and I'll try and let people know if that's the
case. Make a big announcement in the.
I'll do the best I can. So I don't want to change it too much, because yeah, there's been some other stuff that's not been posted. So I want to try and limit things so it's not like, okay, a month before the event, all the stuff's not available that, you know. So their Styx may or may not be allowed. I think the big thing is if it will be his model will be available at Warfare Weekend, because I think anytime we release a model to con, it should be tournament legal at that con. That's just a bit of a preference thing, and it's a thing I've seen in other games I've played at a competitive level, where if they pre-released a model at the convention, that model was legal at that convention. So
I mean, if he's coming out of the con, I'm yeah, gimme.
Yeah. So that's kind of it for Warfare Weekend.
Oh, also, just in case you're listening, Josh, I know you may not make it to Warfare. If Styx is pre-released there, I'll grab one for you. I got you, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Styx. It'll be a fun one to discuss when we go over new hero stuff.
Right.
Okay.
So, all right. So that's about it for Warfare Weekend, I believe, right?
Yep.
Okay. So then let's get into our next topic here. And this one, we're going to hit it with some facts, and then we're going to move on. And that's the Kickstarter update.
Yeah. Yep. So we got a new Kickstarter update from Creature Caster. There was some good, some bad, some terrible, I guess, depending on how you take some of the news. But yeah, we're going to just hit the kind of the highlights and lowlights, I guess, depending on your perspective of the Kickstarter update. There's been a lot of discussion on this on the Discord, so we're not going to rehash a lot of that stuff here.
We are going to give you guys the highlights, the lowlights, and what we've seen from it, and then tell you to go read it for yourself as well.
Yeah, I think this is one that if you're interested for more discussion on it, I would definitely hop on into the Discord. If you are not, I think most people should probably be in the Discord anyways. There's a lot of very good information that goes on in the Discord, and it does feel like the way to get the most information, and you get the most interaction with both Creature Caster and Gunmeister Games folks on the Discord. So
very much so.
I don't know where they put. I think they post the link somewhere in the updates. I don't actually know. But if you want to get on the Discord and don't know how, you can always email us at thesummitpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll figure out how to get you an invite onto the Discord.
Yep.
Okay. So on to that. Kickstarter. The Resin Wave is shipping. I believe it is shipped out to Canada. Yep. Resin Wave should be shipping to NA and EU and elsewhere, I'm assuming. I think they only mentioned NA and EU. I assume it's roughly the same timeline for folks. And that will be happening in the next 1 to 2 weeks, I believe they said. Mm-hmm. One big omission from this is they are not shipping the models with cards. There was hold up with the cards, and their plan is to provide cards through Drive-Through Cards, which is a card printing service. You can also use Hall of Eternal Champions to get rules, as well as both the two Warband Commander apps. I do know the Android one has been updated as of the last patch. iPhone, Apple situation, I actually don't know the status of that update.
And I can't help on that one either, because I use an Android as well.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they'll have Apple updated by the time Warfare Weekend comes around, but I don't know what their plan is for that, because essentially, those that don't know, both apps are community-driven at this point. They are not officially done by either Gunmeister Games or Creature Caster. They were community-driven. So, you know, the people have lives. It's not like they're getting paid to do this. They're doing it in their free time.
Correct.
So as much as I do enjoy the app and would like that to be a thing that is available, it's currently not. Or at least currently updated, not for Apple. However, they are also going to give a PDF of cards at some point in the near future. So you could just print them out on your printer. You know, I have old playing card size stuff from other games where you print them, you put them in a sleeve with, you know, a cardboard card to kind of give it some dirt, you know, some thickness to it. You can play with those as well. It will also, I believe, come with resin versions of the tokens with the heroes, though. So those that like the 3D tokens, you will have 3D tokens from the Resin Wave. So that should be able to get people playing. However, remember, Resin Wave does not include terrain, and it does not include effigies. And it does not include generic 3D tokens at the moment. So your conditions, things like that, shadow orbs, monster spawn, I think some of those are some of the fall into the generic fate, and souls, I believe those won't be in resin for tokens at the current moment.
Sounds right. And the resin 2 wave also doesn't have the monsters, right? Because they were
I actually don't know on that one, to be honest with you.
So we'll hold off on that one for sure. So obviously, guys, don't take that one way or the other.
Yep, I think I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it includes the monsters, because
I didn't think so either, because I specifically thought they were a PVC pack. But
okay. Yep. So it looks like, judging by something we'll get into, I think it is no monsters in that.
Okay.
The monster pack so would not be.
It's just the heroes. So that's.
Yep.
That's
so it'd be just the hero packs and the demon packs add ons from the Kickstarter in resin. Again, no cards, but they're coming up with some ways to work around that.
Okay.
To hold up delays. And then still with the model specific 3D tokens, not generic tokens.
All right.
Along with that, they have the resin and new model release schedule. Mm-hmm. So while. PVC, which we'll get into shortly here, is going to be a thing. They are moving forward with resin new model releases. So starting in October through January, they've got a rough schedule of when stuff will be released, along with the tarot-sized cards, which is something that got brought up a few times and got... did we talk about it in the last episode? I don't remember.
We did with guns and...
Okay. So the tarot-sized card redesign option, I'm assuming they'll have both available, I guess, if people like the old style. The plan is sometime in November. And then in resin, Credo, Maltique, and Terra should be coming in October at some point. The non-exclusive Isabel and Abathos in November. Yorgoth and Styx and Canuck Mara towards the end of November. And then January would be Lori Bella. So those are the some of those we've had rules for quite a while, and we're getting the resin versions of those models. Along with one last update for resin, they are going to do another resin wave upgrade for those that are interested for Kickstarter backers after the holiday season. So those that didn't get in on the current resin wave update, you can do that after the holiday season. And I don't know, we don't have any details on how long it will be open, what the turnaround time is, any of that stuff yet. All right, so probably the biggest low light of the update is PVC is on pause. They have some reasons in there, but essentially at this point, the PVC is paused for, I think they mentioned, a 6-month window. To work through some things with regards to PVC, with regards to funding, with plans, things of that nature. So that definitely for people that backed with PVC, obviously we haven't really had much good news for PVC backers for a while. There's been a lot of discussion on it on the Discord. Yep. They do have a pretty lengthy update related to it in the Kickstarter update. I'd recommend you read through that. To get more information at this point.
Yep.
And that's kind of it for the Kickstarter update. Any kind of general thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, I mean, my general thoughts on it as a whole are, you know, it's good to see that they're finally starting to ship the resin stuff out. You know, but the important thing as well on that one is, even as a, like, because I was a resin backer, you know, the only reason I got my models ahead of time is because I went to Warfare last year and they offered that pickup, which I did. But also, like, I'm still without my PVC effigies. I'm still without, you know, my PVC monsters and stuff like that. And, I mean, I'm the guy who, like, I double dipped on the terrain packs and all that stuff, right? So, like, I'm still missing a lot of stuff. And while, yes, I'm frustrated about it, at the same time, I'm just happy that they're, you know, they're not just being like, well, cool, guys, you're all screwed. It's, hey, we're just, we're still trying to work through stuff. You know, we're working through it. We're trying to figure it out. But at the same time, they're not being like, hey, cool. It's just done. Or,
or just complete radio silence on it.
Like, or complete radio silence. At least they're updating us. And I mean, the frustration, like I said, I hear the frustration. I understand the frustration as a guy who doesn't have all of his stuff as well. You know, I'm sitting in the same boat, except for I have heroes because I, you know, I had V1, and then I also have gone to some of the places where I could get them, like Warfare Weekend. So I have less frustration than some people, and I get that. And I'm glad people are at least, you know, voicing it, and at least when they have voiced it, it's been met with, it hasn't been met with a, well, you're stupid and blah, blah, blah. For the most part, it's been people generally trying to have a good discussion about it and talk it through. So, but that's the biggest thing.
It's I will say this, it's been a lot more civil on the Discord than I expected.
Yeah.
I remember when the update came out, cause I work from home and I've got my, if you ever wonder why I respond so fast on the Discord, I work from home and the Discord is usually up on one on my home computer's monitor while I work at my desk on my work laptop with also more monitors. I do have 5 monitors running throughout the day. Nice. When I'm working from home. So so if you ever wonder why I respond so much, that's why. I'm literally have it, it's always up on a monitor. Makes essentially. Sense.
But
so
yeah,
I
go ahead.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit concerned when the update hit that, like, I thought it was going to become bad, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
Because and people are frustrated, and you have every right to be frustrated with it.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
it is a frustrating situation. There we go. You know,
yes, it's frustrating, and, you know, everybody is frustrated by this, not just us as backers. You know, even CC is frustrated with this because it seems like every wall that they could hit, they have hit. And
definitely felt that way. But
yeah, and that's a frustrating thing for us as backers. It's a frustrating thing for them who want to get the game out. It's frustrating for everyone, and I'm just glad to see that for the most part, people have remembered that, hey, at the end of the day, we're all still people. And we're all still, you know, we are entitled to our feelings, but at the same time, let's be civil about it.
Yeah, that was probably the one thing that I was pretty happy to see. I mean, that's Kickstarter update. Yep. I don't think there's too much more to get into on that. But what was kind of fun, we had some fun Judgment news.
Yes.
Some new heroes were released.
Heck yeah.
The cards for, I think it was like 6 or 7 heroes, I believe. For those that are V1 veterans, it was a lot of V1 heroes that did not get included in the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
So Zafin, Hoxha, Sharn, Svetlana, Styx, Nephanine, I think that's it.
That sounds right.
Did
we ever get all their cards posted and stuff?
They were posted to the Discord, and they are also in the most up-to-date Vassal module. So if you play games on Vassal, the rules are in there. I don't know if the one, I think Sunny maintains that repository of printable cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that has been updated yet, but I have not looked.
Gotcha.
Because he's kind of been maintaining that Google Drive that's got printable versions of cards.
Right.
And I don't know if those have been added, but for those V1 veterans out there, Pretty much everyone stayed the same outside of Svetlana.
And Styx.
He seems pretty similar to what he was in V1.
Yeah, but now he's Torin, not Tomas.
Oh, okay. I'm saying outside of Gods, right? So, Yes, we did see him in Test Realm for a bit.
He also is Soul Harvest 4.
He is Soul Harvest 4, which was probably good.
It's very good, but anyway.
So, for the most part, they did touch a couple of numbers. Svetlana, though, I think was the only one that actually got legitimately new or different rules.
I know they thinned down, because we've seen Nefany, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know they thinned her combat maneuver range as well.
Yeah, which...
So, which needed to happen with Abathus joining. When I saw him join, right, I was like, oh, this is going to have to get touched or she's going to destroy people.
Laser Storm couldn't be... It was like three hexes or something.
It was two, but you still couldn't leave it at that.
Well, I think at one point it was more than two, so...
Maybe that wasn't in
the last time they were in Test Realm, but I think in open beta it was...
Yeah, in open beta pretty... she was three, and the last time she was in Test Realm she was two.
Yeah, so it's good to see that those are, and some of those we'll be getting... I think we've seen sculpts for a chunk of them.
I know we've seen Lori sculpt, and that looks relatively unchanged.
Yeah, and she's slated to come out early January, according to the rough product roadmap that was given in the Kickstarter update. Hoxha, I thought we've seen.
Hoxha, we've seen the render of. Sharn, we've seen the render of.
Zaffin, I think we've seen the render of.
I think so. And then, obviously.
I think Svetlana as well. And that, I thought.
I don't remember if we've seen Svet, but I know we've seen the Isabel.
Yep, we have seen the Isabel. Yep.
And so, we've also now seen Styx.
We have now seen Styx. He was in the update. So yeah, it's good that they're getting some of these other things out. Because we gotta keep working, on the game. So so that's good. And along with that, we did get a new Vassal module update, which has a map editor.
Right.
Which is exciting.
Yes.
One of the things that has been mentioned before is Gunmeister Games wants to have some sort of way to submit maps to them to make the tournament seasons. And this is kind of the first step towards that. If you're on the Discord, we have created a channel for maps, for posting them, for map discussion, for sharing the Vassal save file to do it. Because kind of the easiest way to do it is to start a new game, like a new local game in Vassal. There's then a terrains thing you can drag around options, kind of like you do your models. And then the best way to actually share it is to save the game with no models or anything, just the terrain set. And then you can share that in the Discord. And then people can pull down that Vassal file. And then when you want to play a game on the map, you just load that file in. Play your game. Just make sure you don't save it to save over your terrain. So, I've created two maps. I've played on one of my two maps.
Mm-hmm.
I got some really good feedback on it from the one game I did have. I've got a couple of tweaks. And I'll be reposting it to the channel. I think I'm on version 1.2 or 1.3 of this guy.
Nice.
I think one of the next online leagues is actually looking for map submissions to play a league using the new maps to kind of test out some of them.
Yeah.
So that'll be kind of exciting to, shake stuff up from the current tournament selection of maps.
Correct. And I think that's a good thing. I mean... I will say I've seen some of the crazy map designs that people have put out, and I mean, oh my God, on some of them I've said, and then there are others that I'm like, that's interesting.
I sat down and did two of them, and I took some time on it, and actually I was putting models on the map to see what you could do from different positions.
Yeah.
Which is probably thinking, I don't know if others have done that when they made maps, like, oh, this is a cool way to do it. But I was actually trying to put models on, see what charge lanes were, see, if I'm here, can I charge to there in some of that?
Right.
Which worked out pretty good. It did originally have five monster pits, which I realized was too much. It wasn't the intent of the map to be that monster heavy, but I was trying to think what can I put over here that's kind of interesting? And I just settled on monsters, and I actually swapped the two monster pits to shrines. So I think this is the first four shrine map that I've seen, at least, which is kind of intriguing. But it does give you like something to kind of do on the edges of the map if you want to.
Yeah.
To get some fate. But yeah, I really like that one. I played a game on it. My other map feels a lot more gimmicky, and it's probably got to go back to the drawing board a bit, to be honest. Like, I don't know. Like, it seems cool in theory, but I don't know if I'd ever actually want to play a game on it. And if that's a thought I have when I'm looking at a map I made, I probably just shouldn't make it, right?
Like, I mean, that is totally fair, you know? It's one of those things that anytime you look at something and you're like, yeah, it's cool, it's gimmicky, but damn, would I actually want to play on this? That's definitely kind of a sign of, you know, maybe I relook at this.
Yeah, because essentially what I tried to think of when I was making a map is like, what's the purpose, or what's kind of like, I guess, a theme? Mm-hmm. So like my first map is the main part of the map is basically like an X with you have a friendly shrine, friendly soul pit, friendly shrine, friendly soul pit on the other side with a tier 4 monster in the middle of the X.
Okay.
And then there's some terrain that makes it a little bit where you can't just go from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a monster pit. Well, it's currently two hexes away, but I might actually make the monster pit adjacent to the soul pit. So that if you are just sitting back and soul gazing, you have the monster threat when it pops up.
Yeah.
So like the tier 4 monster is really relevant because I think it's like 3 or 4 hexes
mm-hmm.
from the tier 4 to each shrine and then 3 or 4 hexes to each soul pit.
Okay.
So like the tier 4 is something you have to deal with. But if you're on one side of the map, there's kind of like a woods that can block line of sight to it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have some like map choice baked in there and some of that. So
cool.
That one was a pretty fun one to make. It's the one I'm going to keep tweaking and the one that like I really like. And after I've enjoyed playing game on it, the other one, I'm like, okay, what's the thing that never happens on a map? People never use the edges of the map. And then decided to put the only two soul pits on the center line. Literally on the furthest left and furthest right hex. But I did add the new teleporters.
Right.
To kind of give you some, like, it's weird. I don't know. I kind of was like, this would be kind of goofy and fun.
Yeah.
But it feels less serious of a map, right. I should say.
Makes sense.
So. Dave, you gotta make one. I want to see if you can come up with.
I'm going to, like, I started sitting down and working with it the other day, and like, you know how it is when you're looking at them and you just like you're looking at a blank map first, and you're like, oh god, what am I gonna do here?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I felt on the first one, which is the one I liked more than the other one.
Right.
I was just like, okay, what do you do? Like, where do you put stuff? And it is. And then it kind of was like, okay, I kind of want a tier 4 monster in the dead center of the table. I've liked that on other maps.
Right.
Because it's dangerous. It changes how you play that first turn a bit. Because you have the whole, like, okay, do I stay away from it so it goes to my opponent? Do I bait it in and I set up to kill it to get the benefit from it, even though I'm dealing with that instead of my opponent's heroes?
Huh.
There's this kind of, like, interesting, like, balancing act you do with the tier 4 when it's like that, especially at this one, because the tier 4 monster is close enough to stuff where it will impact in communion phase round 2. It has to.
Right.
And then I kind of like the idea, like, I like the idea of soul pits being dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't just like, oh, I'm just going to sit a soul gazer here. Okay, well, how do you make a soul pit dangerous? You either put it in the midline of the table.
Yep.
Or you throw a monster pit near it.
Yep. Well, like I said, I'll definitely get a map or two created and see what I can come up with. And honestly, Wonky, I think we've got another episode we could talk about right there. It's just
some map creation stuff.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, maybe we reach out to a few people who maybe like their maps get chosen for this upcoming online league.
Yeah.
And we talk to them about, like, maybe ask them a few questions so we can bring some of their responses to the podcast about how they, you know, went about building that. So
yeah, I think that'd be fun. I think the map submission stuff's kind of fun because it lets you kind of put your hat on as a game designer, right? People always complain about games. This is dumb or that. So I'm like, well, here you got an opportunity to like put that hat on yourself and see, you know.
Let's see what you can come up with, right?
Yeah.
So that's great. So, all right. Well, guys, that's a lot about the Judgment news. So we're going to jump into, you know, as I always say, the meat and potatoes of our episode, and get right into some league updates. All right. So this time, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be a lot of wonky with leading this one because, well, my game three for That's Judgment Folks of, what was it? That's Judgment Folks 19, 20?
It was 19.
19,
this,
okay.
This one was 19, yeah.
I had a good mirror match that should have been played well against GamerDad, and my dice tanked me hard. It was bad enough that I honestly don't remember who I banned, who he banned. I know I dropped Gendris because I was just to a point where I was like, I was done already and mentally in that game. And so I went like pure aggression with no freaking nothing to like give me some defense. Cause I honestly think he banned Don if I remember correctly.
I mean, depending on what you're playing in Gruul, usually the Don.
Yeah.
Like Gruul into Gruul.
Yeah.
Normally the Donor Guard band's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was your only defender, so that does definitely stick out.
So I mean, I think he banned Don and I dropped Gendris and I was just like, cool, I'm just gonna play on Adultered Aggression.
I mean, yeah, so that would give you, it looks like Yorgoth, Drogoth, Lorybella, Sane, and Zim.
Yep.
So that does feel like a lot of damage, some good positioning stuff with Lorybella and Zim.
And
a little soul gazing.
It should have been, except for the fact that I had a Drogoth who turn one ended up, like his Drogoth on three dice and two dice were just rolling hot and getting everything he needed. Mine was a five dice charge, got a glance.
Okay.
And then on the two dice backswing, got nothing, which of course, no surprise there. And then later on in the game, like I did a seven dice charge with Yorgoth and got maneuvers. Yeah. And so my dice were just constantly tanking and I don't want to be like, yeah, GamerDad just beat me because my dice were bad. It was, I made bad decisions. My dice didn't help me.
Yeah.
You know, his dice helped him. He played a really good match and I got nothing bad to say about the match. It was still fun, even though I just got my ass handed to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he even asked me at the end of the game, he's like, well, why'd you drop Gendris? I was like, because honestly, at this point, I was kind of done playing Gruul. I had so much just bad mojo going around this warband to begin with that I was like, yep, I'm just kind of done. Let's see what happens if I go pure aggression and go for it. And it definitely did not pay off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Gendris, to be honest, is someone I look at dropping a lot when I play Gruul lately. Like, she's good. She's got a good toolbox, but, like, she just doesn't feel... Like, I don't know, because part of the thing with Gendris is she kind of plays in that support kind of hybrid role.
Yep.
And those slots in a warband feel at a premium.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you tend to need damage, right? Yep. You got to be able to, you know, kill things.
Yep.
You tend to need some amount of tankiness or defensiveness to just not have everything just die.
Yep.
Right? And so... You know, if you're including Lorybella and Gendris in your warband, when you get to the table portion of it, it can feel like you really want to drop, you know, Lory or Gendris because you're like, okay, I need a tank. I want, you know, two damage dealers. I want my Soul Gazer, some of that. And that's definitely a thing I've been feeling a lot with Gruul to the point where, like, I've got a few warbands. I don't even bring Gendris in Gruul, which feels very strange because she was so strong in Gruul before.
And we'll get to my thoughts overall about Gruul after after we get done talking about the rest of the games and stuff for you. So Wonky, who is your round three opponent?
Okay, well, to keep on the Gruul train, I played Corey.
Okay.
Who was playing Gruul.
Okay, good.
You know.
Good, we're staying on the Gruul train.
Just
if like
people
this.
Ever thought I wasn't going to keep talking about Gruul, right? I just had to happen. So, I was playing against Corey's Gruul, and I do like his warband. I've actually kind of looked at it a bit, and it's a variation on something I'd tried previously. A pretty kind of standard Gruul warband, especially right now, but he brings Astareel in his Gruul warband, which is something that I was trying a bit when they made the Staff of Gruul changes.
Right.
Essentially, the idea being Staff of Gruul with fire, you can set up some fire for Astareel.
Yeah.
Get some more value out of her. It brings a really strong range presence. And I think Astareel is just really good in the current meta. I think a lot of people are bringing double tank. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are bringing, you know, Diamond Armor Mazuzi, where she can grab a shredder.
Yep.
And then still cut through some of that. And then fire can be interesting. The healing prevention. I think Astareel is really strong right now in the meta.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings Astareel. The idea you combo with Staff of Gruul on someone like a Thorgar. And then, yeah, Thorgar puts something on fire. She blows it up. He also had Marcus, probably is more set up for the Astareel. Brings some knockdown. Let Astareel shoot something. Also brings some knockdown for Gendrys to be able to shoot. And he had Lori Bella. So his warband was Thorgar, Dhonargar, Gendrys, Lori Bella, Yorgoth, Astareel, and Marcus as non-champions. And I've been playing the same Krognar warband, which was Zarin, Lugdrug, Yorgoth, Dhonargar, Piper, Rakir, and Cradle. We were playing on map 3, which I don't have it up at the second. But I think map 3 is one of the double soul pit maps.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Let's see. Yep, okay. So, this is the one with the glooms in the middle. So yep. It's the two glooms in the middle, a single shrine, double soul pit, tier 4 on one side, shrine on the other. I believe I was topside. So we end up going. I win the roll to go first, which I think is usually pretty good with Krognar. I banned as Astareel. My thought process being, I can be pretty mobile, and with things like Dhonargar, Yorgoth, Lugdrug, even with Zarin, I don't want someone to have the range to kind of be able to catch up to me.
Right.
Was kind of my thought. I think Astareel's just a pretty good ban. He doesn't really have the greatest of tools to deal with the Dhonargar if he doesn't have Astareel.
Right.
And my thought process is, I can run like some weird double tank Krognar. And then he banned my Rakir. I think, again, he realized that Rakir is the one tool I kind of have to deal with his Dhonargar.
Right.
Right. You buy him an armor shredder. You get poison on him. You can very, very threaten a Dhonargar. I then looked at his warband and I saw, let's see, a Dhonargar, a Gendrys with res, a Lori Bella with res. I am dropping my Cradle. Like,
yeah, just, that makes sense.
She just didn't feel like she was gonna fit. I did briefly have a thought of trying to do like a double tank plus Cradle, like a Krognar brick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, this is semi-intriguing. And then I realized with all that res, she's never going to do anything on her own.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't going to feel good.
Yep, makes sense.
And I didn't really have Rakir where that other Shadow Orb person would get a lot of value. So the final warbands end up being my Zarin, Lugdrug, Yorgoth, Dhonargar, Piper, and Krognar. Versus Thorgar, Dhonargar, Gendrys, Lori Bella, and Yorgoth. This game started not good for me. I brought my Zarin up too far, who ended up just getting blasted a whole bunch.
Okay.
Essentially for free. Because I kind of whiffed on the monster, so I'd use my fate for a reroll, so I couldn't spawn a skeleton. It's one of those where, like, I had a plan in my head, and then, like, you know, step 3 of the plan, like, just didn't work. And then a little bit of, I wouldn't say panic, but it kind of threw me off a bit. And then, like, he brought something into my Zarin. I forget exactly what it was. I think it was his Yorgoth. And then I charged my Yorgoth in to, like, counter do something. And then he literally glanced on both attacks, attacking another Yorgoth, and I think I got an orb on the first attack too or something.
Mm-hmm.
So like I put an orb down and I was melee 8 against a Yorgoth and I was glancing.
I was like, yep, ooh. I know those feelings.
And then, so I lost my Zarin pretty quickly. I think he grabbed a harvest on the left side, because he kind of went towards the left with Thorgar plus Lorybella. Like, early on, like, he got, I believe he bought Hunter's Knife right away on Thorgar. And then put Thorgar and Lorybella to the left side of the map, and I kind of went more to the right with how I was positioned and stuff. Mm-hmm. Basically, because the Thorgar with the Hunter's Knife very easily dispatches most tier 4 monsters.
Right.
Pretty quickly. Like, I don't remember if it was a Terra or Canuck Mara, to be honest. Because, like, a Terra, the Hunter's Knife basically just cancels out the 2 res. Mm-hmm. So to kill it, Thorgar just needs a crit and a solid on an edgy 2 monster. Pretty likely to get that.
Right.
Yeah, and then kind of the big turning point, because I felt I was down. Like, he had like Lorybella with the soul on the left hand side, and then he had a 2 soul Yorgoth who killed, I think, my Yorgoth, but was kind of low. So then my Piper actually, and because he wasn't able to get the Yorgoth back far enough, my Piper actually was able to counter kill the Yorgoth to kind of like reset the game a little bit. And at this point, he was on 3 souls, and he had a Thorgar within charge range of my effigy. Because the Thorgar killed that tier 4 monster, mm-hmm. helped Lorybella harvest, and then kind of walked forward up towards my effigy. So my effigy was on 8, and a very pissed off Thorgar was within charge range. So I'm like, okay, here's the game. If I don't get this kill, it is game over.
Yep.
But luckily my Piper was able to do it on my first activation, which did swap turn order. But if I don't kill that, it is literally game over.
Right.
And then, like, it was kind of brutal because, like, you know, the failing on the first monster kill, the Orgoth stuff was bad. And, like, even I think at one point, Corey's like, dude, your dice are, like, horrendous.
Yep.
And that's like, when your opponent says that, you know they're bad.
Oh yeah, I mean,
but
GD said the same thing in our game.
But, you know, we were going back and forth, and I got the Yorgoth kill, and like, I think he needed like, if he had a little bit better dice on the Yorgoth, I think he could have saved an action and like walked 3 hexes further back. Mm-hmm. And then my Piper just couldn't get there to get the kill. And I think I needed pretty good dice. I think I needed a crit and a solid to kill him. And this was just an enhanced Piper, like, with no help, no backstab, like, because I didn't have the activation to set it up.
Right.
Yeah, and then, like, his left-hand side, basically, Lorybella, I think, soul harvested two times, like, because I think the first soul spawned on the right side, which we kind of fought over, then, like, the Lorybella soul spawned, and then he picked up the first one, the other soul came back to the other way, and then, like, I think Lorybella picked up, like, 2 souls.
Damn.
Yeah, and because she was just hanging out over there, and I had nothing to pressure because I was so concentrated on that right-hand side.
Right.
And because I would just, like, I lost the Zarin early, then I lost my Yorgoth, I'm pretty sure. So, like, it just kind of was not good.
You were playing cleanup, basically. And
it was. It was one of those where, like, my opening was really bad, and I had an opportunity to kind of reset the game, and it happened. Yeah, and Corey was fantastic. I actually don't think I played. I think we actually talked quite a while after this, and it was really great about just different stuff with Judgment and whatnot. I think we played in threes at Adepticon, but mm-hmm. I didn't really remember. But I think we did play like Gruul via Gruul in threes or something. And but yeah, it was a fantastic game. Like,
yeah,
it was
Corey's a great opponent.
It was one where it felt like, man, this start, like, how do I get out of this?
Right.
And then was able to get that Yorgoth with 2 souls, which, yeah, brutal game, though. This map always feels a little bit goofy with the glooms that come back.
Right.
In the middle. But I do, like I mentioned, kind of with, you know, the maps, I kind of like when monster respawns feel impactful very quickly after they, like, happen. Because I think that adds a little bit of chaos into the game that you have to account for. You got to account for it. And then especially when, you know, like a Vajasha randomly pops up. Because those always tend to throw monkey
wrenches. She's everybody's favorite model right now.
Yeah, she's been doing some shit. lately.
Yeah, she has.
In games I've been watching, and I'm pretty sure in my next game, there was a Vajasha that had a hand in being ridiculous as well.
Nice.
And definitely in my non-league game I played, Vajasha was very impactful. So,
well,
but yeah, so that was my round three.
Okay.
So that put me to 2-1. And my goal was to go 500. So with it only going four rounds, I had achieved my goal coming into round four. So I was kind of excited.
Because
my Kragnar skills have felt mediocre at best.
Well, I mean, that's fair, you know. I got to say that was kind of my goal with Gruul as well. And as weird as it is, I do still achieve it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, right, when you're playing something new, like, you wanna at least feel like you did okay. And, yeah, like, this one, I won't lie, it did feel a bit like I stole the game. Because it was...
I mean, you probably did.
It was, like, I was not in good shape. But, like, there is a thing to protecting souls, right? Like, mm-hmm. getting a kill, you kind of need to be able to protect that stuff. And,
yep.
And granted, it is a Piper who's pretty elusive. But, yeah, I needed some pretty good dice. And the dice said yes. And, yep. Yeah. All right, Fabius, so round four. How was your round four?
Round four, I got a win! Yay! I got the bye.
Okay.
Which means, you know, overall, we had somebody who was in the first early couple rounds and then had to drop for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I think that threw off
stuff a bit. It threw off stuff a little bit. But, I mean, hence why the joke of, well, I still went 500 on mine because...
Yeah.
Well, I got to win this round, but I'll be honest with you. It's one of those things that I'm honestly, like I said, I'm really glad that I didn't have to play anyone this round because, unfortunately, the warband with the way that it was set up for this league now, I wasn't having fun with it. So
okay.
I was able
to... That always feels bad when you're locked in, especially when you got, like, you get through round two and you're like, man, I hate this warband. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then
and then you're stuck playing it for another like two rounds, and I'm not gonna drop out of a league because that just screws things up. And
yeah, the buys just get kind of funky and stuff, so like
and that's not fair to my opponents just because I made, you know, bad decisions or I'm not having fun and stuff. And it's like, okay, I'll try some weird stuff like I did with GD, where it's like, well, I haven't tried pure aggression yet with this.
Yeah, just give it a try and see what happens.
And,
yeah.
Oh, this might have worked if my dice went, yeah, this is cool.
Okay.
But, you know, so that's my round four was super easy, super quick and done. But now I get to move on to bigger, better things for me.
Yeah.
Like the Fantasy League.
Yeah. Yeah, the Fantasy League. I can't wait to talk about that. But that's not this episode.
That will be another episode. But, yeah. I can't wait to talk about that either.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited to talk about that one. All right, so
let's talk about your round four.
Yeah, so my round four, I got to play versus Mulga, who was playing in Torin.
Who, if he listens to this, he better watch out. This Sunday, I'm coming for him.
Oh, for the fantasy league?
Yep.
Yeah, and this was on map 7. So this is where it's... the map 7. It's the Central Soul Pit. With like the tier 4 on the right side with the treacherous cloud
kind of off center to the right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's actually, I think it's a pretty fun map. I know it's not people's favorites, but it's got some fun stuff to it. So
it's got some fun surprises to it.
Yep. And single solo pit maps are kind of intriguing, I think, for Krognar. I think the Krognar is definitely something where, like, you feel like the mobility is your strength. So, and admittedly, even in the two Soul Pit maps, I never really got the, like...
The bouncing back and forth?
I never got that, which is something that Krognar can do. And partly because I wasn't able to set up for it, partly because Rakir always felt banned. And I wasn't using my Umbral Sphere very well.
That's fair.
And I think that's probably a knock on my... Yeah.
You're playing.
Yeah, my playing Krognar. I'm just not as practiced with them to understand getting the Umbral Sphere out there. And then it felt sometimes less useful because I didn't have the Rakir out there.
Yep.
To really feel like I needed some of those kind of shadow orbs, right? Mm-hmm. So if I had Rakir, I think, because Zarin can't really shadow step until level 3, and I feel like if he's level 3, the game's probably close to over. So having some of that, and then because when you effigy power, he becomes a shadow orb, you have that other point to play around with. So it didn't feel as useful, I guess.
That's fair.
But this was a single soul pit map, which both of us kind of had not the most like straightforward warbands for playing on this kind of a map. Mm-hmm. But he was playing Torin. His warband was Astariel, Bastion, Kane, Thrommel, Barney, Maltik, and Arya.
Okay.
And I took a look at this, and I'm like, well, we're going to all be kind of hanging around the soul pit. Arya can kind of do some weird stuff to your positioning. I also know Mogul plays a lot of Arya.
Yeah, yes. Yes, he does.
So I know that across multiple gods and multiple warbands, Helix is Arya. So, and I kind of figured I could get rid of Astariel, or I could get rid of like Maltik, because Maltik can kind of counter into Dhaenerygar. You can make her damage all true damage. She can shoot at his, based on Soul Harvest 3. She can rack up the Sonic counters, and she can put a lot of pressure on Adani.
She can do damage.
But I figured the Arya being able to walk things if they weren't positioned well, specifically Piper can walk them into extra engagements, Yorgoth, Zarin if he gets a little up far. I banned Arya because I gotta go.
After thinking about it and listening to it, I mean, to me, that's the choice that actually logically makes sense to ban.
Yeah.
So...
because I definitely was giving hard thought to Astariel, but he kind of has that ranged fixing, but another ranged presence because of Maltik.
Yep.
And I kind of had a relatively high Soul Harvest warband. Like, you know, Piper is a 4, Zarin's a 6, Lugdrug's a 4. I kind of thought, the psionic stuff wouldn't be as impactful.
Right.
So yeah, I banned Arya. He banned Rakir because, again, I think Rakir, especially in a single soul pit map, I think Zarin loses some value.
Probably.
But Zarin still has a lot of tools that he was pretty good for me this game. So,
that's good.
So yeah. And then again, I looked at his warband. So again, you know, he's got Thrommel. He's got Barney. That's res 1. He's got a bunch of fire, so the healing is less. So I dropped Cradle. I didn't need the Shadow Orbs. I came into this league trying to play some Cradle, and I did in some earlier games, and she felt okay. But then it felt like the things I was hitting, like you have to get her an Armor Shredder against some of these warbands.
Yeah.
But like the problem is you have things like Yorgoth or Piper or Rakir that also wants item buys, and then I think with Zarin you really want that first skeleton with the fate.
Yep.
So like it felt difficult to give her the kind of priority and resources that made sense.
Kind of felt like old Tomas, right? Where it's I want fate for abilities, I want fate for items. Yep. What do I choose?
And admittedly, my warband, outside of buying some items and Rakir and kind of Piper once again to the mid game, isn't really fate hungry. Like Lugdrug doesn't even have a fate ability on his card. I don't think that I can, or no, he has that weird teleport, which I never remember.
But I mean,
literally never remember that.
Pretty much never have to use it for the most part, unless you really like, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but unless you really do something stupid.
Yeah. So like
he gets pushed out of position hard.
Yeah, I don't even remember the mechanics of his. I know he could do some sort of teleport with his ward.
He can jump 4 hexes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's okay. But you can also just walk that, so that feels weird. But yeah, okay. But then, like, Yorgoth, right? Like, Yorgoth doesn't really spend a lot of fate until you get him to level 3.
Yep.
Piper can spend a fair amount of fate on Enhanced Self, so there is a bit of a fate drain there. And Zarin, until he gets a soul, will also, you know, kind of be a fate drain for skeletons. But, like, Dhaenerygar doesn't commonly use fate, though, spoilers. He used a lot of, well, not a lot, but he used a chunk of fate this game. But, yeah, so this one, I had this big, cool plan in my head. again, you know, I'm thinking too far ahead with Krognar. And then I realized my plan's really, really cool. Until the fact is, if you have a soul on your person and you're in the deployment zone, you lose it. Yeah. So guess what really smart Wonky Kong did?
Left Zarin in the deployment zone, used a skeleton, harvested the soul, and it disappeared.
Okay. Well, I didn't get to that final step because, like, halfway through my plan, I realized, oh, shit, he will be in the deployment zone, and the soul with the skeleton doesn't matter. So,
well, at least you were smart enough to realize it.
It gets funny too. So I used one of my favorite little tricks with Piper.
Yep.
So I had a Vajasha on my side of the table.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah, so basically my plan was, if I have someone on the soul pit, the soul spawns one hex back. Zarin, if he is directly in line with it, can spawn a skeleton. The skeleton double walks, you can soul harvest. That's the plan. You can soul harvest turn one.
Yep.
On this map, and I thought I was going to be tricky and do this, and it would put me way ahead, because his warband felt pretty well matched into my warband from, like, I'm going to go kill things perspective.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going first. I need to make sure... Oh, sorry. Before I get too hard, he dropped his Multique.
Oh, okay.
So I banned the Aria. He dropped Multique. So he had Astariel, Bastion, Kane, Thrammel, and Bardi. Which, actually, I kind of like as a warband. It's got a tanky front. Bastion kind of does some dice fixing. Astariel's really good damage, and Kane can handle monsters for you. I actually liked what he had on the table. And so, yeah. I had this big elaborate setup, and then it gets even better, because I do a Piper trick, which, for those that aren't familiar, you can charge Piper into a monster, and then you can use your third action to put up duplicate self. The monster then hits you, and if they roll a hit, you just eat duplicate self. Piper takes no damage. The plan being against a Vajasha to give extra dice to my Yorgoth, who was supposed to kill it. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
So I basically,
love that plan work.
It did not. Okay. So Piper, you know, walks up, charges, I think does a couple points. I duplicate self, burns a duplicate self. Yorgoth then gets to charge it, because I think I did get the push I needed. So Yorgoth could directly charge it. And he just whiffed killing the Vajasha and gets smacked. I'm like, well, shit. So that's Mr. Donnie. Yeah. So Mr. Donnie comes over and he kills the Vajasha because it was on like two, engaged by two friends.
Level two Donnie, baby.
So I've got level two Donnie, which will become a way bigger deal as we go.
Yeah.
So the soul spawns. I had moved my lug drug into position to stand on the soul pit, which I knew was probably sacrificing my lug drug a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Astariel can tear through him relatively easily. I think he bought Ring of Power on her off the effigy right away. Yeah. And so I'm like, you know, I have first activation, though. I can pull him back. I can still pick up the, you know, if I need to. And I would have had a soul at that point. But yeah, obviously, I'm like, oh, shit, deployment zone. Good thing I remembered, though. I think I would have been a lot more frustrated if I did the plan and then lost my soul at the end.
I think there's no even doubt in my mind of you would have been more frustrated.
I caught it as I was starting to plan things out a little bit more. So I'm like, and I think I let out a big, oh shit, in the Discord or something. As soon as I realized, I'm like, well, this is bad. But yeah, so it just didn't work. And then, so I had the lug drug there. Astariel basically almost kills him, pretty quickly. And I had to get him out of there. I had a fun thing where I tried to mate. So there was a Terra, that came in on my side because of where Piper was and stuff. And like on turn, I think it was round two or three or whatever. I tried to get really, really cheeky and mage hand the Thrammel towards the Terra and in nine dice, I didn't get a single maneuver.
Wow.
Because I think I only had to push him like two hexes because he was like adjacent to some souls and stuff. And my idea was to, like, okay, I'm going to push them. If I get one push out of them without exposing anything in melee, I'm in good shape. And then I think if I got, like, one more push, I could have, like, made the Terra start going towards his Thrommel.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that just didn't happen.
Did not play out.
And then my Yorgoth also whiffs getting two pushes across two attacks to push the Thrommel towards the Terra. So I wasted five attacks, didn't get a single maneuver across them with Yorgoth and Piper.
Sounds like you and I needed to intermingle our dice.
Yeah. So, like, round three, I got a note here where I tried, I think pretty quick, like, pretty short after that, I needed a seven with a reroll to harvest with the skeleton and whiffed it.
Oh, I know how that feels too.
Yeah, but it did start turning around because basically right around that time, so my donor guard was kind of low because he had been, you know, redirecting to him and stuff. Right. And I did the, like, well, I need to effigy recall my donor guard, so I might as well attempt a soul harvest because he was in the middle. And dude rolls the hard nine without burning a, or I don't remember if I had to burn a fate or not, but he gets the nine. So he is now level three. And then because of Krognar's Warband bonus, he gets to effigy recall.
Yep.
So now he's kind of back. And if map seven has, like, the front, like, if you're, and I was on top side. So, like, near your effigy is the shrine. And my Zarin had kind of always been hanging around the shrine. And he took a couple points at one point when, like, a Barney charged in on me.
Okay.
And then, like, I had a 2 hit point lug drug. And then I think he killed my Yorgoth at one point, and he had a respawn. So all of these models were around my level 3 Dawnregar.
Healing wave.
I think over two actions, because I think when I hit level 3, I effigy recalled, and I think I spent a fate to heal Dawnregar, lug drug, and Zarin.
As one should.
And then on the respawn, I healed Zarin, like, 1 point, healed Lug Drug another 3, and then healed, like, my respawning Yorgoth and Dawnregar again. And then Dawnregar was then regening 4. So, like, this game started not great, and then the Dawnregar, literally level 3, like, brought me right back into the game. And then Mulga went a bit aggressive.
I mean,
so his Kane came up and got my, I think it was the Yorgoth kill, and Kane was sitting on 2 souls.
I hate to say it, but based on what you're saying already,
yeah,
it sounds like Mulga kind of had to start pushing, because otherwise,
well,
you're
going, like,
to be able to. Well, I mean, if you think about it, if you had 2 souls at that point,
yeah, I think I had 2 at that point, and I think he was on 2 or 3.
Yeah, so I mean, well, okay. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so at that point, like, his Kane came up and killed my Yorgoth, I think, and was on 2 souls, because I think he harvested one. Because remember, it's single soul pit. We're, like, mosh pitting around in the middle here.
Yeah.
And what kind of happened that turned the game a bit is he had an Inferno spawn on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able, and he did, like, a play where I think I killed his Barney. I'm trying to remember how I killed it. And, like, it already recalled. I'm trying to remember. But, like, Barney, anyways, was back by the effigy. I think he recalled to get out of trouble. Oh, yeah, because his Barney dove in deep and got low. And then he was able to get that Barney out of trouble by recalling.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended up from his effigy the following turn, like, charging this Inferno that respawned.
Right.
But he didn't knock it down or didn't push it.
Oh, no.
So then Inferno smacks him.
Yep.
And then he had this cane that had 2 souls on it. There was a bit, and we're going to get, it's going to sound like deja vu. So he had a cane with 2 souls on it. And I'm like, well, crap, I need to kill this 2 soul cane. Because, like, you know, I think I was at 1 or 2 souls myself at that point. I'm like, well, crap, like, I need to do something here.
Yeah.
Because I don't think my Zarin, I was crapping out skeletons with fate, but I don't think my Zarin had a soul on him yet. Because, like, I just couldn't get, like, I kept, like, whiffing the harvest.
Right.
Like, I had that, like, round three, I had a skeleton set up and I had a seven with the reroll and didn't get it, right? To kind of get the...
Yeah.
But I kept...
To get the Theron bus going.
Yep. I did realize with the skeletons, I'm like, I just need to keep doing them. And I did one turn incorrectly where I was going to harvest with a skeleton, but I spawned a skeleton first before I had a soul on myself.
Oh.
So, like, I should have went with the first skeleton, harvested, then spawned the skeleton, and would have saved me a fate. Because I felt very fate-strapped this game. Because I took a lot of damage... And, you know, fate healing is expensive.
Yep. Fate healing with Donnie gets expensive.
Well, I'm just saying, or just doing it in general, right? If you don't have healing wave. Because the healing wave was pretty clutch on what you'd heal.
Yeah, like, but I mean, it still is wild. Expensive that you're spending a fate. It's still good,
yeah.
But...
Correct, yeah. Well, and you lose a bunch of actions doing it, too, which is correct. So, but yeah, I was able to... I think I... but yeah, so I got my Piper in on his cane, and I didn't... quite like I'm like crap I'm not gonna be able to kill him, but on one of my attacks I was able to push him into that inferno.
Oh no.
So like he instead of going aggressive like on my heroes, or he went aggressive on my heroes instead of like
getting rid of
maybe I
inferno.
Should just clear this inferno off, because it was literally in his because like was, the Barney it just ended up that inferno did so much damage,
right?
And then I was able to, so like, it killed the cane, so it took two souls away.
Yep.
So again, kind of like last game, I started bad and was able to kind of kill a two soul model to be able to basically, I mean, not seal the game, but kind of like reset it. And I had, I think, one or two souls at that point. I think he had one other soul somewhere. I think like a Zestario maybe or something. But then, like, the next... And then I brought my Yorgoth up into, like, that left-hand side woods. So, basically, Astariel couldn't shoot me, right? You couldn't suggestion him unless you got close. But then, like, Yorgoth is going to threaten his stuff. So, basically, it became a thing where, like, we ended up calling the game because, essentially, in, like, 2 to 3 activations, the game was over.
Right.
Because the Inferno still wasn't dead. I think his Thrommel was down to 1 hit point or, like, 2 hit points. His Barney was down to 4 because at one point I got to back off and respawn or repair.
Right.
And then his Bastion was on like 8. And I had a Yorgoth that could charge into that and play whack-a-mole across it. And then I had a Dolnergar that was back up. And then because I'd healed Lugdrug twice from Healing Wave, like Lugdrug was back to being okay. So like... Because basically where the woods comes out on that edge that extends out,
right.
I had Yorgoth on the far end with Lugdrug directly behind him.
Oh, yep. Okay.
And then Donnie could charge into the middle, have reader, and he was basically full at this point.
Because
he had healing waved himself twice, and then he had regen twice at 4 hit points each time. Because he had gotten pretty low from some redirects from like Terra and stuff. And then at this point in the game... He also, that Terra was coming through on the right-hand side, too. So, like, he's like, this game is, you know, done, because it's...
I don't have to play this one out to this game's over.
Yeah, Yorgoth charges in and probably kills two models, and then I still have my Zarin that can crap out skeletons for free, and there's, you know, there's a soul coming every turn. Like, he could have dragged out and's like, this game is, like, it's over. There's not... Like, everything's too low. He's either dying to suicide rule, dying in community phase of monsters, or, like, I finish it in, like, 2 to 3 activations. Between, like, a Yorgoth charge, Zarin soul harvest. It got rough.
It's one of those situations where you can look at it and just go, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
I don't have to play this out to know this.
Yeah, and I think it was a little bit later at night, too. So just like, you know, and I was like, if you want to play it out, we play it out. He's like, no, let's just, you know, it kind of is what it is. And, you know, we've both been playing the game long enough. Because it's definitely, like, Yorgoth comes in, probably kills two models, and I think that puts me to 4 souls.
Yeah.
And then all I needed was a Zarin soul harvest to finish it off, and, like, what do you do? Because, like, he would have lost Thrommel and Barney.
Yep.
So he would have maybe had an Astariel that could have done something, and he would have had Bastion.
Yep.
And then the Kane was just respawning, but he would have had to walk charge on the respawn. So, like, okay, Kane can chip in a little damage, but he also had a Terra that was, like, almost to his shrine at that point.
Right.
So we called it. It was a good game. Like, I actually really, really like his warband. He did a lot of work with Kane.
Okay.
As someone that I know that is a big Kane fan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to hear that Kane was putting in some work, you know. So that's good to hear that Mulga's putting in the work with Kane.
Yeah, it definitely, like, he was cutting to kill monsters. I think he did a soul harvest. He was doing some of the temporal stuff. Because I think when I EP'd, I brought, basically when he brought his Barney in really aggressively, I effigy powered to be like, okay, well, Yorgoth's going to get three whacks at you. And if you don't go, Piper kills you.
Right.
And that's when he backed his Barney off. And then effigy recalled him out. But he got, I mean, it was a Yorgoth punching you three times.
Yeah.
You know, with Zarin being a shadow orb. So he was in pretty good at that point.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was a fun game. Like, and I do not like, I like Krognar kind of. But it's funny because the way I play Krognar isn't very Krognar-y.
Right.
I guess. It's because
you haven't played him a lot yet.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess we'll kind of get into some overall thoughts on warbands in the league and stuff in general.
Yeah.
So yeah, my warband I kind of liked. Cradle felt kind of meh. I feel like the meta's a little hard on her at the moment.
I would agree with you.
Because I think there's a lot of res 1, and if... Granted, you can generate Shadow Mist other ways besides just her doing damage now that it can carry over.
Yeah.
But against a lot of that Res 1 stuff, she just feels kind of mediocre. Yes, you can buy an Armor Shredder, but would I really want Armor Shredder on her versus
that's something else, right?
And that's kind of the problem I feel like with her.
Yeah, you can buy an Armor Shredder, you can put it on her so then she's able to at least do, you know, one damage to people and things like that. But like you said, the meta right now, in my opinion, and yours, is it seems like there's double tank a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of res 1 stuff, heroes. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I hate to say it, but the pool for that is not getting any smaller. Because even with you looking at what's coming into the play, right, you're getting Hoxha, you're getting Lori who's coming
Styx, who still has res 1. Yeah.
So you still have all these models that still have res 1s, which means she still has to solid them to even get a point of damage through. And now, like you did say, you can get that through your other models to give her Shadow Mist now, which is great, but it's still rough on her.
Yeah, and like there's ways you can try and fix it, right? She does have the marked target, so you can pick one, but I don't know. Out of every game I feel like I play with marked target, I rarely ever get... Because like, just how the game flow goes, and it feels very expensive to spend an action to move
to change it. Yeah, I agree.
And I think it, like, I don't know. That's probably the one part where if you could change the marked target a bit easier,
right?
I think she could be a lot better because then you'd consistently get more dice. Because I think the problem with her is the lack of getting consistent dice being melee 6. So you either have to bring set up for her, or you got to attack stuff that's like that's already engaged by something to get extra dice. Because then, you know, like a solid to get 2 on a res 1 isn't the worst if you're getting, you know, like 4 dice attacks where there's some likelihood you're getting it.
Right.
But the problem is, you know, there's a lot of edgy 4 in the game. And if they're res 1, okay, so that means I'm a dual wield attack. I'm getting a single die. I can't even have a chance to solid without some additional support on her.
Correct.
But yeah, I guess kind of a little bit going back is like, I feel like I'm playing a very gruely version of Krognar. I mean, I was playing some double tank. I was playing with Piper and Yorgoth, which are 2 miles up north from Gruul. So it was almost like playing Gruul with like Zarin thrown in.
Yeah.
Thrown in.
I mean, that's fair.
So, but yeah, I kind of like the warband. I think if I wanted to be a bit more serious with it, I think I'd drop Cradle.
Right.
Otherwise, like, I don't hate the, like, double tank Yorgoth, Piper, Zarin, to be honest, either. In Krognar, which is kind of what when people were banning Rakir is what essentially happened. Because Cradle would be kind of interesting, too. Like, I could have tried, I think, maybe dropping, like, Lugdrug or Piper for her. But with all the res 1 I was seeing, especially in Tauren, where it was also a bunch of fire, I'm like, well, the Shadow Mist is going to have a lot less value.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I mean, I that's like me. I looked at my warband, right? And obviously, first choice I would have made different is right off the bat, I would have had Arya over Zim.
Okay.
And I've mentioned that a couple of times. But I also think, like, looking at it, if I'm going to bring Lori, as much as I love Gendryss and I want to play with Gendryss, I honestly think if I'm bringing Lori, I'm not bringing Gendryss at this point.
That does kind of feel like a thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, for me, it feels like that tracks is if I'm going to bring Lori, I'm not going to bring Gendryss. Because either I need that extra slot for like another tankier person, or, you know, I could, if I want to go a little more aggressive with it, I could look at bringing, you know, some sort of assassin or something like that, even to give me some bigger pop damage, or even grabbing a Thorgar, right?
I think it can work if you're not also bringing a Soulgazer.
Yeah, it could.
Because then she kind of works like a backup Soulgazer, and then in a lot of my gruel games, Lori Bella tends to be a ban target. Yeah. And when that happens, then I do kind of like that utility setup piece, but in general, she has felt a bit lackluster since the 2-hex change.
Sure.
She doesn't kind of provide that extra little defense and offense that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of probably like the big thing I think I miss with her. And then Lori Bella just feels like she does some of that, but better, because Grenade is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, I actually am not disappointed in how Saiyan worked in this, because, like, both in two of my games, my opponent got, like, multiple souls on a model.
And you got some strip stuff?
Well, I didn't get
or stripped, just big damage,
but it was just good damage with her.
Yeah.
And I really have to watch her, because if I come anywhere near her, she's going to obliterate me.
The additional dice for bounce souls is pretty good.
Yeah, the additional damage, you mean?
Yeah. Or additional damage, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I wasn't disappointed in her at all. Mm-hmm. I just think if I want to play this warband again, I think I would trade Arya in for Zim. And then my initial thought is take Gendryss out, keep Lori. Because I was able to get some cheeky plays in multiple games with the Lori hand grenade and stuff.
It lets you do so much fun stuff.
Yeah, it allows you to do so much fun stuff. But then instead of Gendryss being in there, my initial thought is if I have Donnie, grab Lugdrug as well. But maybe I just... My other thought was grab one of the other defenders I like.
Yeah.
Which there's a couple of those that I could do. Like Marcus is a good one.
Yeah, Marcus just always kind of fits.
Well, and right, the other right. reason I like Marcus is because we've talked about this warband as a whole before. It's fairly fate light.
Yeah.
And so that would allow me to have like the Marcus to walk up and on a first turn portion off a soul pit or portion off a shrine or things like
that. Yeah, there's some weird stuff you can kind of do with that.
But I mean, overall with the warband, I did have fun with it. It's just by week three I was done with it, because my brain just wasn't wrapping around it the way that I was hoping. Yeah. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact of I just didn't have some of the models. I was like, oh, this would be better if I had this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you a bit. Like, and it can feel kind of bad as you're trying to play, right? And stuff's just such a mess.
Yep.
Right? Like, yeah. No, so. It's good to see you play some gruel, because, like, I'm curious. Like, my favorite question to ask cool players, did you ever get to use your warband bonus?
Twice in four games, I think. One
that is
legitimately, I think it was once in one game, once in another. So it wasn't even like in the same game. It was just there. I think there was one point where I was like camping on the Treacherous, right?
Yeah, probably map 7 with the Soul Pit. I always got to ask it. It's one of the things that I think is kind of interesting about
Gruul,
but.
I will say, I think after, you know, some of the talk we've seen in the Discord lately, I think some I think Guns and Tirith have definitely hurt us.
Oh, yeah.
About that, you know, especially because I know, like, I saw that the other day where Guns popped up into the Discord and was talking about the effigy power, and we're just like, no, it's not the effigy power we're talking about.
Bonus. Yeah, the effigy power is fine. Yeah, I just, it's one of those things where, like, obviously, is now we're getting into map tools, and it was something I was trying to be cognizant of, because, like, my map has some opportunities for it, but it didn't, it still wasn't, like, in the game I played, because I played Gruul in the game I played on my map. It's still, right. So I think, like, I'm going to try making a few tweaks to one of the, like, left, one of the, like, mid shrines mm-hmm. that's kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
We'll have some, like, Gruul Warband bonus value.
Yeah.
So if you want to play off of it on that shrine, but it's not, like, the focal point. Right. So we'll have to see. But it's,
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess, did you, the other questions, like the Staff of Gruul, did you have any fun plays with the Staff of Gruul?
No. not really. The one fun play I had, I reported, I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago,
okay.
Where I got it on a respawn, killed a monster, and then walked up and was able to pull a Marcus all the way down into my warband with it.
Oh, okay. Yep.
But other than that, so far, every time I've taken it on Drogoth, other than that, it has failed me utterly.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I don't hate the artifact, but I also don't, like, look at it and go, yeah, that's something I've got to take every time.
Yeah. And I definitely feel that with it. Like, there's definitely some spots where it feels like it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that definitely sometimes you're like, it just didn't do anything this game.
Yeah.
So. Which I guess some of the other artifacts do that too, right?
So yeah, some of them do, and it's, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just what it is. Like, out of all the rest of the warbands, I can honestly say this. Like, Ista, Torin, and Tomas, you very much so, if you walk away from your effigy the first turn without getting that, or without picking up the diamond armor on the person who killed the monster, right? I honestly think it's probably a fairly big misplay.
Especially because, yeah, Quality Stone and the Restoration are both free to buy Fate-wise, right?
Correct. And that's why it's like, well, if you walk away from your effigy without grabbing those, I have to wonder if you don't grab them at least off the monster kill.
Or so, yeah, if you're not grabbing them, you're kind of leaving some power at home, right?
Yeah, you're leaving power at home, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with, like, Bruellen, obviously there's some definite power there with certain models like Zonya and things like that.
Yeah.
Being able to pop off. But Gruul's is one that you just kind of look at and you're like, well, I could get Staff of Gruul, or I could get Vorpal, or I could get Armor Shredder.
It feels like it's a good item on, like, your secondary aggressor.
Yeah.
Because it does kind of fit very well on Thorgar and Drogoth. But then, like, Drogoth, you need to kind of set up additional dice, which you can do a little bit if you frost them or poison them. But there's not other, like, combos with the condition unless mm-hmm. you bring in outside help.
Yep.
And that's the part that feels a little, like, strange about it to me. Still,
I agree.
Bit, but
so, yeah. Well, Walkie, any final thoughts for the night about, you know, obviously hobby news, map editor with that, the league updates?
No, probably just you won't see me play Krogdar for a while. So, I got a couple of good games in with them. I learned a bit, but I might go back to...
I feel like you and I need to do else. The... since we're both going to Warfare, we should do a another Warband challenge for that.
Oh, no.
I didn't say worst Warband.
Oh, okay.
But maybe our... least favorite god warband challenge.
Okay, that I might be a bit more okay with.
Yeah, well, what, you know, we're not gonna have another 3 hour match of man. God,
that game was a slog.
Yeah, it was but it was fun. So okay,
that's one way to
I enjoyed it. I'm sorry that you did.
Okay, I enjoyed a lot of it, but man, towards the end, it just...
Well, yeah.
It felt draining.
It was. It was very draining towards the end, so... but... Well, and I have no thoughts for the night, so...
All right.
With that, guys, as always, if there are future topics that you would like us to talk about, to cover, please go ahead and feel free to DM myself or Wonky Kong on the Discord, or post it and tag us in the podcast and streams channel. In the meantime, get out there, play those games that you can, and Wonky, let's portal on out of here.